Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Last week, the Biden administration pledged U.S. forces will help Colombian and Panamanian counterparts dismantle the smuggling rings taking migrants through the Darien Gap. The gap is just what it sounds like, a gap in a real highway from South to Central America that forces fleeing migrants through a jagged up-and-down mountain pass, 66 miles of mud, jungle, water, robbers, rapists. Last year, 250,000 people attempted the crossing, migrants fleeing wars, gangs, hunger, humanitarian disasters around the world, and lured to the gap by drug cartels who charge for entry, for shelter, for the promise of a boat at the end of the trek. Nick Peyton Walsh, CNN's chief international security correspondent, and his team recently walked the five-day journey with hundreds of migrants.
Sometimes a dream sells you a nightmare first. And beauty is deepest in a place you may never get out of. And the need to keep moving is the only thing left to carry. A quarter of a million humans last year walked for four deadly days through this, the Darien Gap.
Their trip is chronicled in the mini-documentary The Trek, A Migrant Trail to America. We'll link you up at herenow.org. We spoke with Nick Peyton Walsh yesterday, just after he and his team, now back in Ukraine, narrowly missed being hit by a Russian missile strike. He didn't mention that. He was eager to talk about the migrants he met who chose to make that trek through the Darien Gap, often with no idea what they're getting into. They've been tricked by the cartels.
That's true. I mean, it starts in Colombia with a cartel who are very clear how they want everyone to understand this is going to be easy, it's going to be organized, don't you worry, you'll be done in a couple of days. That's what they sell. And then you leave Colombian territory and you literally fall off the earth. And the whole hill on the sort of summit that is the Colombian-Panamanian border is just one messy, muddy slide. Endless rivers, the threat of robbery, murder, allegations of sexual assault. It's utterly horrifying what you see on the Panamanian side.
Well, and give us a few more examples. I mean, there's a young girl who was having seizures. And a heroic migrant offers to carry her, but soon he's separated from her mother. We see an older woman with a cane trying to make her way. Talk more about what you saw.
Look, I mean, if you're part of our team and you have extraordinary resources, all the best gear, it's still, for us, physically really hard. And so we're watching people who are turning up with a small rucksack and sneakers, carrying their own children and imagining how hard it must be for them, watching them do this. Parents who are having to deal with the difficult realization that they were told this would be an easy walk, and their 12-year-old disabled daughter who has epileptic convulsions is essentially going to have to be carried by somebody else. But then you ask them, why are you here in the first place? And they explain that they lived in Venezuela, and in Venezuela they can't get the medicine their daughter needs. And so for them, the lack of medicine on this five-day trek and the potential betterment of life in a future, possibly in America, even somewhere else, is a massive plus. And that was the weird thing on this, is we kept thinking, God, this is tough. And then Venezuelans would say, there's more food here on this trek than we've seen in Caracas for years.
Yeah. Until it got worse and worse and worse. I mean, as you point out, I mean, at a certain point, you're passing corpses. So we hear what they're striving for. What's in it for the, is it possible? I was going to say, what's in it for the cartels? And it's the money. But is it possible that it's preferable to drugs? Because these human packages, as they view them, the migrants, move themselves.
Well, look, if you're trying to move cocaine, which is essentially the traffic that comes from Southern America to the north, somebody's going to steal that from you. It's an inanimate object that everybody wants. These are people, unfortunately, who nobody wants. And they will pay the cartels to move themselves. And so if you're talking about the volume of people that we were looking at, which is 5,000 to 6,000 people in the jungle at a time, paying the minimum we heard people pay for that route, $400, you're well into 10 million. That's not even half what you're making for no risk.
Yeah. Again, it's heart-stopping. A little five-year-old you see along the way who's waiting as the line snakes by him. He's determined that his parents are coming and his dad's going to build him a swimming pool in Miami.
Vous allez à l'Amérique?
À Miami.
À Miami. Qu'est-ce que vous aimez à Miami?
Papa va faire piscine.
He's waiting for his dad, who's going to get him a swimming pool in Miami. Nick, you do see he's reunited with his parents. Are there people that you're wondering about?
Yeah, I mean, the hard thing about this story is that a lot of people who we got very close to while walking with them, we don't know what happened to way over half of them. That's not from not trying. Part of being a migrant is that you don't want CNN just breathing down your neck each time you stop somewhere. So we understood that people would disappear and be hard to find. I do know certainly that some of the people we met are continuing their journey north. One family have got as far as Mexico City. I spoke to one Chinese man who's not in our actual documentary, but he messaged me saying he made it to San Francisco.
Nick Peyton Walsh, there's so much more to talk about. The Gap is just a piece of this incredible journey migrants are making with all the policy issues and human rights issues that surround it. What do you think about the U.S. pledging its forces will help Colombian and Panamanian intelligence to dismantle the cartel operations there?
I think omnipotence is an extraordinarily comforting drug. I don't think it's possible to find this piece of jungle and suddenly make it impassable. I'd like to think, for the benefit of the people who are being exploited by this cartel, that's something that can be done. But this is a part of the Colombian border run by a cartel the Colombian government don't want to take on, don't seem able to try and tackle. So there's that. Then there's the Panamanian side, where the Panamanian border force are just not numerous or potent enough to be able to slow this down. There's thousands of people a day. And so you have to also confront the bigger problem here, which is each country that potentially faces the prospect of them being the ones who stop the flow of people could end up with thousands of people stuck on their side of the border. So if the Colombians say you can't go to Panama, these people, 6,000 a week, could end up in Colombia. That could be hundreds of thousands of people a year. The same if Panama decides to stop them going to Costa Rica, if Costa Rica decides to stop them going north, all the way through. And so the incentive here, given people's final destination is to get to the United States, is to let them get through as fast as they can. And so there's two ways of fixing this. One, you say you can never get into the United States, and that may not be applicable to United States law. Or the second one is you try and stop them wanting to leave the countries they're leaving in the first place. I don't know how to fix any of that, but I do see the extraordinary complexity of this, and above all, the enormous humanity of aspiration, spirit, and generosity to strangers that people walked with and helped along the entire route, which to me was something wonderful to behold.
All those conflicting emotions, horrible to see, wonderful to behold. And just briefly, do you anticipate that that number is only going to grow as the U.S. debates whether or how to lift pandemic-era restrictions that kept them from coming into the U.S.? It's scheduled for May. Presumably more people could try for legal entry into the United States.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem to really impact people. They're coming whatever you say. If you say it's going to get harder, they hurry up because they think they want to get in now. If you say it's going to get easier, they hurry up because they're worried that if they don't get there quicker, they're going to find there's more people turning up and it's going to get harder. The people you meet on the trail have constructed their own narrative, regardless of government policy, because they're leaving places that are awful. And that's what we don't really understand in our comfortable places. What fuels people to make these drastic and enormous decisions in their lives? The experience I had on that journey just reminds you that if you are there with your wife and your daughter in the places where these people have come from, you'd be doing that same walk and you'd be grateful for it.
CNN's Nick Peyton Walsh, we're speaking to him back in Zaporizhia, Ukraine. You can see his team's documentary as they walked the 66-mile Darien Gap over 5 days with hundreds of migrants. We'll link you at herenow.org. Nick, thank you, and stay safe in Ukraine.
Thanks.